Now, some of you may know of my career history has been quite a long one, and I've done many things. But for a good 10 years or so, I worked for a variety of pharmaceutical companies in the UK, and I was a medical sales rep. I absolutely loved it, to be honest. It was intellectually challenging, demanding, and financially very lucrative. I met some fascinating people and loved the imparting of new and innovative information to professional medics. Well, anyone would think it was a worthy job, wouldn't you? But before too long, the ethics of the way that we sold to doctors began to conflict with my own internal sense about what was right and what was wrong. Now, this was long before, actually, I became a Christian, so I can't put these concerns down to that belief. There was bribery between the industry, its medical research partners, and, of course, the ultimate prizes, the prescribing of physicians. And it was rife and valuable. And that's how the industry worked, you know, greasing palms. Now, in my early days, that actually seemed quite harmless. I mean, what's the problem with just giving out a few pens and sticky pads? Mary can tell me about that. But it got worse, far worse. Wining and dining got pricier. And I don't mean just a few sandwiches at lunchtime. I mean, I'm talking about taking 20-odd physicians out for dinner at Midsummer House in Cambridge. Foreign holidays purporting to be medical conferences. But please don't worry, because I'm told this stopped some years ago. I hope so. Then came the time we had a new drug which had been launched. It seemed to be a fascinating thing and that it was going to benefit a lot of people. But as it started to be rolled out, there were unpredicted side effects which were not just unpleasant but potentially dangerous to health. And of course, quite rightly, the prescribing doctors weren't all too impressed with that. We were called to an emergency meeting in London, and given, I use the paraphrase, new data, to pacify the doctors that all was well. And it seems that this was where my personal barrier came up. And it seemed clear that the truth was being bent by the pharmaceutical industry to protect their billion-dollar investment from falling into a very large pit. As I said, this was my barrier. Now, how hard it was choosing to kick it down, because I had everything to lose. My job, of course. My personal and professional reputation was at stake, whatever I chose to do, my social network, my mortgage, my ego. Yeah, my ego. But I chose to rebel. I refused to use this data and soon became a target of professional hate. And it became obvious that I was starting to be followed at work. Part of my job was to go around various parts of the country, going to see clinicians and selling the virtues. And it was quite clear that I was being followed in another car. My boss started to come out with me daily rather than occasionally, which was very stressful, as I'm sure you can imagine. My paperwork was scrutinized to the nth degree. Just looking for any odd mistake, really. And of course, I did lose my job. I lost it on a trumped-up offence. And I lost everything as I thought I would. My marriage finally fell apart, as did my health. And for a very short while, although it seemed like forever, I lost my children. But what I did have was self-respect. How low can you go before you give in and admit you are truly lost? This in itself is a barrier, just like any other. Remember, it's just the same. And some people are never able to admit their loss. I think we all know people like that. And that is, of course, a tragedy. Now, let's open this out right now to all of us in this room. And just think, who amongst us has not had any barriers in life? Because if you haven't, I'd like to talk to you. Because you're rare. Who has not had to kick through something to get where they needed to be? Let's just throw you a few ideas just to get you going. Might be a poor education, financial poverty, gender inequalities at work, cultural discrimination, sexual discrimination. Let's face it, it's still going on even now. Hatred, abuse of any kind, or poor self-esteem. Take your pick. I think we can all identify with those. And we all have to kick these barriers down sometimes, don't we? And of course, on the other side, sometimes we erect our own barriers in life. Maybe we think we're not clever enough, or not capable of doing something or other, or we don't have the money at the time, or we don't have time, or we're too tired. Now, if we know in our hearts that we have kicked into touch some really big barriers, why do we struggle to overcome the minor ones in getting closer to our God? Have we indeed put those barriers in place in the first instance? And why did we do that? Why do we do that? Think about it. I haven't got time to pray. Oh, this isn't the right time or the right place. Or, I'm embarrassed talking about my faith in front of my friends. It's far too easy to get trapped by others' opinions and our own self-erected barriers, isn't it? We all do it. I do it. And sometimes church is its own worst enemy. And let's face it, some of the behaviours that we anticipate in church are a barrier in themselves in getting closer to God. Our reading from Matthew this morning is really a great example of breaking down barriers and petty rules. And Jesus himself, of course, was a complete maverick, smashing through the boundaries that mankind had tried to put around him. In the verses prior to this story of the Canaanite woman, Jesus had had yet another run-in with the Pharisees about the laws of tradition. In a nutshell, it was about his own disciples not washing their hands before they ate. And he says in chapter 15, verse 8 to 9, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." Seems this exchange was both exhausting and frustrating for him, as Jesus then appeared to walk some distance of 20 to 30 miles towards Tyre in an attempt to get away and find some solitude to reconnect with his Father. But as so often happens in Gospels, the idea that he has already planted translates into an actual story. And it's here that he is met by this Canaanite woman, who falls at his feet and begs him to heal her daughter of demons. Maybe a modern interpretation would suggest a severe mental illness or seizures, but she was a desperate woman who would do anything to save her child. What follows then is a really weird passage of referring to dogs, licking up crumbs under tables, but it's truly one of the most important passages about salvation in the New Testament, especially for non-Jewish people. Let's break the story down. Jesus had already trashed a barrier by going to Tyre. Now, this was a large and important city outside of the Jewish area and was part of an empire that once been an enemy of Israel. He wouldn't be welcome there. One barrier down. Secondly, here was a woman, and Jewish women just didn't speak to males in company unless they were family. Two. And thirdly, three, she wasn't a Jew. And Jewish men didn't associate with non-Jews. It just wasn't done. For her part, this brave woman threw the rule book out of the window too by approaching this Jewish man from another and an enemy culture. She was desperate for help, and knowing exactly who he was, the son of David, which is the expression she uses, she knew that he had the power to save her daughter when no one else could. Desperate times cause desperate measures, don't they? And don't get in front of a desperate woman. But Jesus' reply seems rather odd. I was sent only to help God's sheep, the people of Israel. Now, what we don't know is, was he speaking to the woman, the disciples, or himself? As a human, was he asking himself this pivotal question? But we do know he was referring to the people of Jewish extraction from Israel. And we do know that he did not include the Pharisees, for they would never bow at Jesus' feet. She begs him again, naming him as Lord. And then the Bible reads, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Now, many an article has been written about what this means, and I'm not going to go through that now. But in a nutshell, he was saying that the children he had come to save were the Jews of Israel, and the dogs were all non-Jews. In that time, the Gentiles were often referred to as dogs, dirty and not to be touched. Now, this sounds very harsh, doesn't it? But that woman's response changed history. "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Yeah, I know I'm not worthy. But if the Jews are rejecting you, let those of us who do want you have you. My goodness, she was brave, wasn't she? Her total faith in his power and her absolute desire to share the salvation was so impressive. So she smashed through every preconception about the cultural norm and every man-made barrier to get the healing for her daughter and salvation for them both. She didn't get her answer immediately. That's an important lesson, isn't it? And she had to prove her faith. But she won through. And this short gospel is one of the most important and pivotal stories in the New Testament. From his perspective, Jesus also broke all the social conventions in order to save this woman and her daughter. And it's from this point, this very short point, through Acts, that the gospel is now preached for all mankind. Now, how brilliant is that? It is the best of news that whoever we are, we have the choice to be a child of God. Even pharmaceutical sales reps can do that. And it's a two-way dialogue. And just remember, Jesus is still dismantling barriers today, even though we sometimes seem to be erecting them just as fast as he's dismantling them. Can I ask you to consider what barriers stand between you and your God? Sometimes it's the very smallest one that is the biggest challenge. And please don't start with just considering. Do something about it. Take it down. Jesus wants us to receive his full salvation, and he wants us to be blessed. What barriers as a church might we have in reaching new people for him? It is the case that the majority of non-Christians, even today, say that the biggest barrier to them having faith is church. Oh, that's a challenge. I'd love to spend hours on that because you know it's very close to my heart, but no. We are God's chosen people now because he removed the barriers of race, religion, gender, and tradition so that everyone can receive his salvation. And the more we dismantle our own barriers, the more we will grow as a loving church community. Thanks be to God. Amen.